Welcome to the Top Gear Magazine podcast, a peek behind the curtain of what it's really like to drive other people's cars for a living. These are the stories behind the stories. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Top Gear Magazine podcast. I'm Jack Ricks, and I'm joined by two Olivers, or Ollies, they prefer to be known as. We got Ollie Q.
Hello.
And Ollie Marriage.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Toyota Land Cruisers, I think.
Oh, yeah,
They're more complicated than you think.
Yeah,
I always thought they were quite complicated, and it turns out they are.
Oh, well, there's a diagram of doom, which we'll find some way to get you to be able to look at, which will explain lots. We'll get onto that in a minute. Why don't we kick off by finding out what we've been up to? Mr. Q? Anything?
Well, I've been looking at an SUV which makes this new Land Cruiser that Ollie's about to tell us about shortly look like a little pipsqueak of a thing. Because a couple of weeks ago, I was over in Detroit having a look at a few new bits and bobs, and I saw the Cadillac Escalade IQ. Now, an Escalade is already a big old lump, but an IQ is the electric one, and it's on the platform of your favourite car, Jack, the electric Hummer.
The Hummer EV. What a car. What a car. Breakthrough.
It's got a longer wheelbase and more luxury, and as a result, it weighs something like 4.2 tonnes. And all I can just say is, if you would like to rupture your cringe gland, go on the Top Gear YouTube channel and watch me trying to interview the chief engineer about the safety concerns that one might have about this car, because
this man should be a politician is an understatement.
Oh, the absolute someone in the comments went like, this guy's dodging questions like Neo dodging bullets in the Matrix, which I really liked. That's me going, this car's over 4 tons and has 24-inch wheels and stuff. Are you not worried about what happens if that hits someone? He goes, hey, look at the trunk space in the front. That's not what I asked.
What?
Yeah.
So basically, they've built a battering ram.
Yeah. It is extraordinary.
What do they do with brakes? It must have some pretty impressive ones.
Well, his answer to everything was it passes all the tests, but I'm sure like assault rifles pass, you know, have a safety catch on them. It doesn't mean that, you know, you give them to children, does it? I think that it's like the American dream and the American nightmare kind of just crystallized into one car. If you believe that bigger is better, that more is more. I mean, this is your car.
How big's the battery?
It's 212 kilowatt hours.
I think that's more than the Hummer. The Hummer's like 203.
It weighs 13. I think it's the same batteries. Maybe they're just calculating the usableness differently.
They've unlocked another 2%. Yeah.
But the battery alone is 1,300 or maybe 1,400 kilos. The whole battery is like more than an Alpine A110, more than a GR86.
Put that on your weigh scales, Ollie. The batteries.
No, they will break.
Yeah.
And then because it's got, you know, individual reclining seating inside, just the weight piles up and up and up. But, you know, it was the fact that even when I went in the room, like, I had to like stand on tiptoe to see over the bonnet. And this guy's going, oh, so funny. When we took this home, my 14-year-old daughter came out to see what car I'd come home in, and she couldn't even see over the bonnet. And it was like, as if that's anything other than horrifying.
What if she's trying to cross the road and you're parked there and she can't sit?
And then of course he says, oh, well, of course on the production vehicle we'll have all sorts of cameras and sensors, and you're just there going, this is not what the electric revolution was for. Not to make cars even bigger, heavier and more ridiculous. But it's fine because it does 0-60 in 4.5 seconds. Can be safer?
If you're a lazy engineer, it must have been a wonderful project to work on that, because basically there was no weight was not an issue. So you could just go, well, we're going to add in these seats, and they weigh, you know, 75 kilos each. Stick them in.
They're massive.
But they take up a lot of space. Increase the wheelbase, man. It doesn't matter. Just keep going.
Yeah. Do these seats heat, massage, cool, ventilate, you know, the whole recline?
They do now.
It's just, as I said at the end of the video, like, I don't think the European mind can even just comprehend it. I don't think I'm equipped to get my head around it. So if you are, wherever you're listening to this in the world and whatever you sort of bring to the table, check it out on the YouTube channel and dive into the fairly vibrant comment section below, because it's kind of become America versus the world underneath there. But with a fair few Americans themselves going, I can't in good faith defend this. This has gone too far.
In last week's pod, we were actually talking about in the UK at the moment, there's a lot in the news. A lot of fingers being pointed for Britain's crumbling. To be honest, they've been crumbling forever, but apparently it's now the fault of heavy EVs that are making potholes worse or perhaps endangering the future of the roads because of the blah, 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 whatever. I mean, if this car came over, I'd be prepared to support the argument if everyone was driving around in Cadillac IQ Escalades because, yes, I think a 4.5-tonne
Yeah. Well, for a start, SUV. You'd have to check everyone's licenses, wouldn't you? Because you're only allowed to drive up to 3.5 tons. But in the US, it's just amazing. That same as they've got no MOT. There's no... You could pass your test one day and then immediately be behind the wheel of this. It's
an HGV.
With a 55-inch touchscreen to distract you. It's...
A 55-inch touchscreen?
Yeah, it goes across the entire width of the dashboard.
But it's one screen. It's not like the Merc Hyperscreen, which is basically three screens behind one piece of glass.
No, it is one screen, yeah. And it, but apart from the bit in front of the passenger has got sort of like holographic something or other, so you can't see it, because that would be distracting, wouldn't it? It'd be very distracting to see what the passenger's doing.
It's basically got sort of lenticular coating on it.
Oh, so that's a good word, isn't it? Yeah,
don't worry about
it. But it's... I need to have a lie down and think about something else. But let's talk about a more acceptable off-roader.
No, I don't want to stop talking about big SUVs.
No, don't.
Just because this was not planned, but I've just happened to have TopGear.com's homepage on in the background.
What is that?
That's the Yangwang.
I beg your pardon.
It's offensive,
there's a very, very big Yangwang on TopGear.com. It's a Chinese... car. It's actually, I think it's the luxury arm. Well, it's a bit different in China. They don't kind of do these sub-brands. They just launch an entirely new company. But it's BYD, which you've probably heard of. They're the biggest
dolphin seal people, aren't they?
Yes. Well, they now sell more electric cars than Tesla globally. This is the luxury company that Yangwang's launched.
It looks like a Land Rover Defender BYD. 110 crashed into a chandelier.
Yes.
Why? It's so spangly.
It's actually a plug-in hybrid. Well, I think it's got a 2-litre turbo kind of range extender engine, but it will it's got nearly 1200 horsepower.
Of course it does.
I can't access the weight of it.
3,460, I've just found. Sorry, I was reading it before you said let's
guess. It's super leggera.
Yeah, exactly. This is the like a bit dropped off the Cadillac.
Yeah, but do you know the best thing about this car? It can
anything.
It's got an emergency flotation mode. Come on, now you're liking it, Ollie. How many times have you needed an emergency flotation mode in a car?
When I went to Cape Wrath and got stuck on one side, that was a time.
Yeah, exactly. So this can act briefly as a boat.
How briefly? Any car can act briefly as a boat for about 3 seconds.
Yeah, 3 seconds as some bubbles come up and it goes down. No, I think I read about 30 minutes. That's decent.
So this is
get across the channel if you've got a clip on.
It hasn't got a propeller or anything, has it? It's just got to sit there and paddle.
Rotation of the wheels.
They've been on YouTube watching that. You know that Rufford Ford? You know that Ford they've had to close down because of people barreling across it and filming themselves flooding, hydrolocking their cars? Someone's thought, we can build a car for that.
How much power does the Escalade have?
750 horsepower.
1,200.
1,000 newton meters of torque.
120 grand as well. That's
probably cheaper than an Escalade.
I think that the Escalade's meant to be about 120.
Is it?
Yeah. It's.
I mean, in terms of pounds per kilogram... It's not a measure that we want to promote. But anyway, sorry, we're getting so. What were we going to talk about?
We were going to talk about an off-roader or an SUV.
A bit of a proper off-roader.
That's more fit for purpose.
So there we go. We've teed you up beautifully to talk about how authentically brilliant the new Toyota Land Cruiser is.
Yeah.
Is it?
It is. No, it's absolutely brilliant. It is really, really good. It's. I tell you what it reminded me of, and this is going to probably be a bit of a surprise. It reminded me of a Suzuki Jimny. Because you remember when the Jimny had its makeover a few years ago?
Oh, it looked great.
But it was still... So everyone suddenly got really excited about the new Jimny.
Because it looked cool.
Because it looked cool. But underneath, it was still a pretty utilitarian, rugged, actually really capable little car. The Land Cruiser, they've done the same with it. They've given it a really cool new makeover, but underneath, it is still a pedigree off-roader. It's still absolutely massively capable, really reassuring. What they've done a couple of things to it which have made it much less like a Hilux and much more capable and sort of acceptable to drive every day. So it's now got an 8-speed automatic gearbox, which is much better and swifter shifting than the old six-speed. And they've really improved like the sound deadening and insulation. So there's much less sort of suspension noise and just general hubbub going on.
And is there a mode where you can turn that up? It's like increased old school noise. Mode. Yeah, it's just clank.
No, it still feels quite old school because it's a 2.8 litre four-cylinder diesel.
Okay.
No hybrid, at least not yet. They're going to do a mild hybrid version of that engine next year, I think. And some places in the world get it with a 2.4 litre turbo full hybrid. But we're not going to. We're getting a 2.8 litre diesel. And it just feels really in keeping for that car. Yeah.
It's just so funny to me that, you know, the Land Cruiser for decades has been this byword for, like, absolute nuke-proof reliability, the car you've, you know, come out of the wilderness in, all that sort of stuff. But we would not be sat here talking about it on the pod if they had not done a magnificent job making it look cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You're exactly right. The Jimny analogy is bang on, because that was a car that had always been very fit for purpose if you were a hill farmer. But all of a sudden, it was desirable and funky and fun. And this just looks... I mean, you've been and seen one in the metal. Did you want one?
Yeah, I did. Really did. I wanted a first edition. But do you know what it... Which has had that sort of sand colour and everything.
With the white roof and the round headlights.
Retro headlights. Because
square headlights. Which actually look quite menacing as well. It looks pretty good with those. Mm. But it may... Do you know what? It'll depend on who buys them. My concern is that... In fact, I don't think it will, but, you know, you worry about it slipping into Defender territory a bit and just becoming a blacked-out school-run truck the Defender has. And you sort of go, well, then if I buy a Defender, no matter how much kit I attach to it to try and make it proper, it's still going to look like
it's
I'm just
be tagged with that.
Flagging off to go and park on a verge somewhere.
Are those people who like to bling up their Defenders, are they going to buy a Toyota? I don't see them buying a Toyota.
No.
They're not going to buy something reliable, are they?
Do you know what was interesting, though? You described it as that. For years, it's proven itself as just nuke-proof, reliable, go-anywhere car. Mm. And we all know that. And for some people, they absolutely love and swear by Land Cruisers already. Then you add this dash of desirability on top, which is what design can just do out of nowhere.
Mm.
Yeah.
And suddenly, I want one too. I want one. Yeah, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to use it in South London, but I don't want to become one of your school run. I wouldn't get it blacked out. How about that?
Yeah, I said when we made a film and stuff when we were shooting it up in Scotland, and for closing out the film, I did say, look, if you have one of these things have the reputation they do because they have always been used properly. If you have one, just don't let the side down. Don't be that one person who just goes, I'm just going to cruise around South London in it and stick it on a bigger set of wheels.
Be the person who I came up against in a country lane the other day in my car, and they were coming the other way in a Land Rover Discovery Sport, and it's a narrow lane, and they wouldn't put two wheels on the wet grass verge. Just so I had to sort of go fully off-road in the Top Gear Garage long-term M2, when it's, you know, Pilot Sport, whatever, the you know, sticky tyres, and think, this is going to... If I stop now, if I lose momentum, it's going to dig two holes. Yeah, but they would, and I was just like, you're in a disco sport. I mean, I've driven those things like up 45-degree inclines where you can only see sky. Trust it. So, yeah, it's the same with this. Like, if you've got one, for goodness sake, get it mucky and use what it's built for.
But there will be people that go, oh, it just looks so good. I want a little slice of that rugged reputation, and I just want something that looks like that. Yeah. And also, it's, you know, an anti-Defender. It's, everyone on my street's got the new Defender 90s and 110s. I want something a bit different that sort of speaks to me being a bit more outdoorsy and adventurous, and maybe this is it.
Yeah, it is a fully capable sort of family truck if you want it to be. You can have five or seven seats. The first editions, I think they've slightly overdone it. There are too many electric motors in there. Like the rear row of seats folds electrically. Mm. You don't want that.
I'll break.
I sort of didn't want an electric tailgate in it either. Yeah. I just wanted to give it a good slam instead.
How much did the first edition cost?
We don't know yet, but I've said between 65, 70, I think.
Well, they probably said, right, make this first one a 70 grand car, because that's what happens these days, isn't it? You launch with the super expensive version.
Yeah.
The early adopters all clamber over themselves to buy one, and then we slowly come down. So they're probably fishing around trying to find where, make it worth 70 grand. Motors.
Yeah, stick motors, more electrics in it.
in that, just and talk about the interior. I've just pulled up a picture of the interior, and it's, there's a worryingly large touchscreen here. Have they gone super techie with it, or is it still...
No, there's still loads and loads of buttons in there.
Can I use it in insulated gloves?
Yes, you can.
Good.
The touchscreen, not so much, because I had to do this, because funnily enough, the weather in Scotland this weekend was quite mixed.
Oh, right.
We had weather that hurts.
Really?
It's normally very stable up there.
Sharp rain.
No, the snow, hail, rain, wind, even some sun. But yes, you can operate. Most of it is all the sort of controls that you need to press for off-roading are there, and they're buttons and switches, and they're nice and easy to hit and everything. You've then got to, the dash graphics are quite small. They're tiny little icons pop up, and you're sort of going, does that mean the diff's engaged or not engaged? What's going on there? And the touchscreen, you've still got to do a touchscreen. There's no sort of separate rotary controller or anything for it. But there is a rotary control that does all your drive modes. It has a sport mode, which is the last thing you need in a Land Cruiser. Yep. But then you press another button, which gives you like your multi-terrain stuff, and then it does your rocks and dirt and mud and snow and stuff.
But you manually select that all the time.
Yeah, that's on a rotary knob.
Right, because what I found super impressive when we first started driving the Defender was the automatic brain of it, that you can just aim it at anything. You could almost try and fool it. You could be on tarmac, and then all of a sudden you're on wet grass and mud, and it would go, oh yeah.
Yeah.
The surface has changed. I've adjusted my diffs and my suspension and my traction control and I carry on.
Yeah.
Does this do that for you?
It doesn't do as much for you. And I think that is the genius of that Defender. It is stupidly competent and composed.
Yeah.
But as we found, remember when we went and drove the Strata Florida, that road through Wales, we took a Bronco and a Wrangler.
We drove it up a waterfall.
And drove up a waterfall. And did all that sort of really cool, really cool stuff. Mm. Do you remember how composed the Defender was? It just did everything for you. It was astonishing what it could do.
Autopilot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This doesn't do that. This is more like the Bronco. In fact, the underpinnings of it are very similar to the Bronco and the G-Class we had along, in that you've still got a ladder frame with a body completely separate on top. You've got a beam back axle, and at the front you've got double wishbones. So it's actually very similar to both the Bronco and the G-Class, are set up almost exactly the same. The one thing the Land Cruiser can do, there's a couple of options and things you can have, and one of them is the SDM button. And that's your stabilizer disconnect mechanism. And it allows you to disconnect the front anti-roll bar, basically a clutch in it, and which pulls it apart so that each wheel isn't held by the anti-roll bar and can move more independently. And you get like 10, 15% more axle travel. So, and you actually feel this when you're driving off-road. If you press it, you feel the front become a bit more elastic and a bit more sort of free moving.
That's clever.
But yeah, so it's got all this. I mean, Bronco's got that as well, so it's not the first to have it, but they've obviously thought long and hard about how to keep it being absolutely proper off-road and yet have a bit more civility and things in it. It's pretty ponderous on road. It's not, you know, it's not massively, it's very stable, but you know, you tilt it around corners and it moves around, and it's still got a little bit of that sort of lateral shimmy and shuddy you get in sort of things with big heavy back axles and
So if you are purely going to drive on road, but you like the look of the new Land Cruiser, probably have a word with yourself and the Defender's a better bet.
Yeah, Defender is a more comfortable car to drive on road.
Oh, but I've got an awkward question. So this new Land Cruiser, Ollie.
Yeah.
It looks great. It still talks the talk, walks the walk off road. Practical, well built, nicely set up inside. Is this the car that kills the point of the Ineos Grenadier?
I think it really might be, actually. It's because the problem with the Grenadier is, once they've sold everyone who wanted an old Defender that was done a bit better, that market's gone. And the whole point of that Grenadier is they want it to have the durability and robustness thing sewed up. Well, sorry, Land Cruiser's been there for 70 years and done it.
Yeah, it's why they took over in Africa and in Australia,
exactly,
didn't they?
So I think it really gives the Grenadier a bit of a headache, I think.
Ouch.
Because if it was me, I'd have the Land Cruiser all day long.
Yeah, more proven. Yeah. More proven. Yeah. Why don't we put it in some sort of... You've got a horribly complicated looking spider diagram on your laptop in front of you. You asked the question earlier, just how it fits in with...
Yeah, I don't know if anyone else listening is like me, but if you don't speak Toyota and you didn't grow out of Land Cruisers, there's something called a Land Cruiser, and then there's also a Land Cruiser Amazon. And then a second ago, you were talking about
Land Cruiser Colorado.
Yeah, and I was like, how many different Land Cruisers are there? Well, and what does this new good-looking one actually replace?
Yeah, so they've built 11 million of them. And the thing is...
no wonder I can't keep track.
Yeah, yeah. They've built 11 million of them, and they sell them in like 170 countries around the world, which means that they do different things for different markets if there's a demand for them and everything. But basically, they date back to 1951, and unsurprisingly, they started with a Willys Jeep. It became it was a post-World War II thing. I think they were... So there was, I think the Japanese were doing something, they wanted to do something for the National Police Force. Anyway, so they started building them in 1951. And by the time they got to like 1960 is when the iconic, the 40 series came out.
Right.
Which is the iconic sort of very boxy circular headlight ones that the new one sort of riffs on a bit. Yeah, yeah. They then started separating them out and going, okay, right, then if this is a standard Land Cruiser, that's quite tough and robust, but we think there's a market for a sort of a station wagon version. So they started doing a different version, which was a station wagon variant. And then a little bit later on, they separated the...
What's a station wagon? Bigger? More seats? Longer?
I think it was more seats, longer, more family use. So it was slightly a bit more refined and comfortable.
Okay.
And
Range Rover, different body styles. Range Rover and, versus Land Rover kind
of that sort
vibes.
Of thing. And then a bit later on, they decided that their sort of tougher, robust ones could be separated out further into sort of light duty and heavy duty. And the heavy duty ones are the cars, they're the ones that you think of when you watch the news at night and you watch...
UN.
Yeah, exactly. And you watch UN Outback Farmers and stuff. Mm. Those are the 70 series. Right. They can't even be sold in Europe anymore because they don't meet emissions regulations and things because they still use like 4-litre diesels with no turbos on them and all that sort of thing. but it's the light duty and station wagon ranges, which have been sort of consistent ever since, are now coming back together. So the new Land Cruiser 250, which is the light duty side, it uses the same chassis and underpinnings as the Land Cruiser 300, which is the station wagon side.
Yep.
So it's quite confusing. The Land Cruiser 250, the new one, is a bit more, it's got a bit more off-roady features and capability than the station wagon side. But essentially, they're quite similar.
Oh, it's just how you described it, because you said, it's got this new sort of style and desirability and decent usability on road, but it's still got all the proper off-road chops.
It does, yeah. So it shares a platform with a Toyota Tundra pickup as well. It's a properly competent thing, and it's a laugh to drive. So when on road, it's quite ponderous and a little bit vague. You get it off-road and suddenly you feel so connected to what's happening when. So this is where it differs from the Defender, which has that, don't worry, lads, I've got this, and does it all for you. Mm. This
Sit
goes,
back.
Right,
Enjoy
get some modes engaged, and I'll show you, you will feel exactly where every wheel is.
Where were you driving it?
Oh, it's quite funny, really.
Like, yeah.
Toyota decided to do the launch of this car in Land Rover's backyard. We were actually at the estate that backs onto Balmoral.
Trolling
the late Queen and her defenders with a Land Cruiser in the next door estate, which probably meant we were 10 or 15 miles away, but it was next door.
Mm.
So what I really admired about Toyota, actually, because normally you quite often do these things and they're quite prescriptive about where you do, and you've got to think, I reckon you've just designed this off-road course for this car.
Mm.
Well, what they did here is they went, here is this enormous estate. Here's a clever bit of software with all the maps of the tracks. Off you go. Go wherever you like. Find your own route. Go where you like. This route's going to take you way out into the back of beyond and then deposit you down at this river crossing and back in. That one's going to be really tight and gnarly in amongst the trees and stuff. So we went and did the lot. And it's just, what it can do is, I mean, you come away, I think anyone who actually owns a 4x4, if they would realise what it's actually capable of anyway, when you've got decent tyres and decent ground clearance, cars are quite impressive anyway. But this, I mean, we were on quite road-focused Michelin tyres, and oh my God, it would just do whatever you like. And you come away from it thinking, I sort of wanted to get it stuck.
Yeah.
I wanted to find something, then I had to engage another button just to get it unstuck. But no, I mean, we were romping around stuff, and I went, still in sport mode, still in road mode. What's going on?
Sideways everywhere. It's not the point, Ollie.
But yeah, low ratio gearbox. It's got the works. And That's
what an off-roader has to have, isn't it? It's authenticity.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than these things that, you know, it's got all the trussed up bull bars, but it actually gets stuck in a puddle. This is like absolutely nuke-proof.
They had an old 40 series there and I had a go in it.
Mm.
And because I sort of went, oh, can you still detect the DNA? Well, no, absolutely not, because an old 40 series from 1960 is a shed. It's terrible. It's on
Willy's
leaf
for a while
springs
back,
at both ends. Oh yeah. My God,
how
it
is
rattled
this not falling
and banged
apart?
And it just, the noises it was making. You thought, how did anyone ever go, this will be brilliant for going across the Sahara?
Yes, we should continue making this for decades to come.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit more protection. No, we're good to go. It's done.
Yeah, yeah. But they're just mechanically very sound. And that you still feel with the new one is you go, you drive it and there's no extraneous noise. Mm. There's nothing, no bits of trim are rubbing against each other. And I like the fact, you know, the front of it, when you look at it, it's got lots of separate blocks. That's because if you scuff or damage one, you only have to replace that block. You don't have to do the whole front bumper. Because
how many blocks
piece
did
bumper.
You have to replace?
This was it. So the end of yesterday, when we finished with it, they sent one of the guys out. He said, I just need to come and have a quick look round it and see if you've done any damage, what we might need to do to it overnight. And I said, well, I don't think I even heard a single clunk from underneath. And it's not on air suspension. It's not height adjustable because Toyota don't believe in it. It's not good for durability, air suspension and stuff. So he came and had a look round it. He went, yeah, that one's absolutely fine. I said, have you had to do anything to any of them yet? He went, nah.
The easiest job going. This is why I think we should put an appeal out, because one of the most legendary, like, Top Gear telefilms of all time is the unkillable Hilux.
Yeah.
So I reckon if Toyota have got one of these new Land Cruisers sat around somewhere, you know, spare
the one,
one
that's got to be crushed
from crash testing, give it to us and let's have another crack at it. Mm. Like 20 years on, is this new Land Cruiser as unfloodable, unblow upable, uncrushable as the old Hilux? Because it certainly sounds like it.
Yeah. All right, I'll dust off the rocket launcher. Yeah.
Hey. Sounds good.
So, I mean, Scotland, if anyone listening hasn't been to the Scottish Highlands, it is spectacular. It's probably the perfect place, really, to put the Land Cruiser through its paces. And when the sun comes out for 5 minutes a day, it's...
Rather beautiful as well.
Rather beautiful.
It is
rather beautiful. But it got me thinking, where would we take the Land Cruiser on an adventure if we could do... anything. This is basically a live Top Gear ideas.
Basically, like, pick the continent and then just pick two arbitrary points. Would you go north, you know, cape to cape in Africa? Would you go coast to coast in Australia? Would you go to the roof of South America? It's one of those cars that you think really big in it.
Yeah, exactly. You want to go somewhere where you are so far away from help, from normal help and assistance. Yeah,
but your life depends on that car starting, keeping you cool, and keeping on rolling.
Yeah. Outback.
Yeah, Outback Australia would be good. Yeah. That the adventure I did a few years ago when I took a Hilux to Namibia and did the Skeleton Coast, and we went 150 miles from the next living human or something. It was just, we were so far out. And I did one of the most foolish things I've ever done in a car, which was do an enormous jump in it. and the run-up, I went, this will be, you know, you get so excited about doing it. And then suddenly in the run-up, and suddenly you're in the air. And we did a bit like 6 foot in the air.
So I hope they get the picture, because the car won't look the same when we land.
And suddenly it landed, and I thought I'd broken everything. And you suddenly go, ooh. I don't think help's very close.
Sorry, car. I'll be good now, car.
And of course, it was a Hilux, so absolutely nothing happened. It actually happened to me. I just made every muscle seize.
But it survived.
But the car was absolutely fine. And you need to do some sort of outrageous...
Yeah. The other thing, can I just say, that I think it's cool about this, is, like, you know, when it's like sort of Ineos, it's all they do. When it's Land Rover, fundamentally, all they do is build SUVs. But like Toyota, they'll give you a GR Yaris and... the new Prius, which we know is very cool. Check out the video on the YouTube channel for the, you know, we've just done the world's longest Uber trip in that. Mm. And all these kind of worthy stuff, you know, and they're going racing at Le Mans and they do this. Like, I just sort of have to take my hat off to a company that
has
that much talent in that many areas.
Mm. Yeah. An early shout for Manufacturer of the Year, perhaps.
They're on a heck of a roll at the moment, Toyota.
There is a real honesty and integrity to that whole Land Cruiser lineup, I think, that you just don't find in many other places.
Yeah. Well, it's nice, isn't it, when you see a car, when the pictures of that were first released, it happens a handful of times a year, doesn't it? So you get first pictures of something and we're just like...
We're like flies around a honeypot, but it was like the reaction online as well.
I was going to say something other than a honeypot, but...
but on topgear.com, the comments and on our social channels, the Instagram and the Facebook particularly, people were going wild for this thing because it was, as Ollie was saying earlier, it's like finally a Land Cruiser that I want as well as I need.
Yes. So, and now the want is even stronger because you've driven it properly. Mm. So what, you shot a film on that? That'll go on YouTube. So, is there an embargo?
2nd of April, so I think it's already up.
Yes, it's already up.
It's up there, and there's a full web review, and it'll be in the next issue of the magazine.
Oh, so you can read everything you want about it. Right, so we need to get hold of this, do a big adventure in it. We also need to run one on the long-term fleet. It feels like a car that deserves a bit of living with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that should test if it's indestructible or not, shouldn't it? How many crumbs can you put in this?
My kids are very good at pouring various foodstuffs all over the interior materials, so I can cover that off for you guys. But
bring it on. Vive the Land Cruiser.
Sounds like great fun, and the car lived up to our sort of expectations, which isn't always the case. So, all right. Well, check out the video, check out the website, leave a review, let us know what you think about the new Land Cruiser once you've gone online and had a look at the pics and a watch of the video and a read of the review on topgear.com. And hope that was fun. Catch you on the next one.